Coming up next, Minding Your Business with marketing strategist and author Robin Block. This former New Yorker brings on the tough love to help you separate the gems from the junk and get the job done. Listen and learn. It's real business know-how for today's entrepreneurs. Now, here's Robin.
Mother's Day is tomorrow, so of course we had to invite mom entrepreneurs to the show. We have a little bit of a twist today. One of our moms has brought her son, who was the inspiration for the business they started together. Many people think that the top reason for starting a business is the desire to spend more time with children. Yet according to a recent Canadian study, most mompreneurs are just like so many other entrepreneurs. Their top reason for going into business is the desire for control, independence, and personal challenge. Moms have always been a strong demographic and drivers of change. Now mompreneurs are a force to be reckoned with. But like so many other growing and influential groups, the business model has been criticized as being a lighter version of entrepreneurship. Rather than quibble over the phrase, we'll ask our guests if they agree and find out what their version of entrepreneurship is all about. Minding Your Business is about giving you the tools and information you need to start, run, and grow your small business. Are you starting one? Do you own a business? Tell us about it or ask questions. We'll answer on the air by calling 866-712-1300 or give us a shout on Twitter or Facebook at MYB Media. My guests today are Andrea and Jace Lieberman of Biking Billboards, Tina Ramirez, co-owner of Mama Loves, and Susan Lowry, creator of the Motor Bee, Mom's on the Run blanket. Andrea Lieberman is an accidental entrepreneur thanks to her son Jace. She's worked in journalism, notably as a staff editor at Sunset Magazine. She's also been in PR, events marketing, fundraising, and real estate development. Just as the real estate market was hitting its bottom in 2009, Andrea inherited condominium property from her father. The business was born from a need to sell that property. It was Jace who came up with the billboards on a bike trailer promotional concept. He's a very recent graduate of the Lakeside School and plans to attend the University of Denver next year. Jace, welcome to Minding Your Business.
Thank you. I'd just like to say happy Mother's Day to all you guys for tomorrow.
That should get you some points, I think, especially since mom is sitting right next to you. Tell me how you came up with the idea.
So Biking Billboards started somewhat accidentally from a need to advertise for my mom's condos over in Kirkland. And my friends and I built a A-frame sign out of plywood to put on the back of our bicycles. And we biked down the street outside the San Michele concert series. And people chased us down the street saying, how can we advertise?
That creates a very funny picture in my head, that there are like droves of people literally running behind your bed. Is that really true?
Okay, they weren't running behind us, but as we would bike past them, they would all turn their heads and say, wow, what a really cool idea. How did this person get their sign on the back of your bike?
Now, from the way you describe it, it sounds like it was plywood being dragged on the ground. I mean, are there any wheels involved besides the bike?
Yeah, there were a couple of wheels.
And how did you manufacture that?
So we had a trailer, sort of one of those trailers that you would tow a kid in, except it was just a flatbed trailer that we put the A-frame sign on and tied it onto the trailer. And it actually fell over in traffic a few times on the road when we would ride. And so even though we had difficulties towing it, it was still a very successful thing right from the beginning.
So basically, Andrea, you took something that was used when Jace was a little kid.
Exactly.
What was that called? The Bumble?
The Burley.
Burley.
A Burley bike trailer. And it had been, you know, lying in our garage unused for several years because he had outgrown it. And we figured that was a good way. We just tore off all the canvas covering and took off the piping at the edges and just laid the A-frame sign into it and used zip ties to tie it in. And that worked for the first few efforts, but after that we designed a little more professional, a little tidier looking trailer systems, and the signs have since evolved as well.
And you built these yourself?
We started doing it ourselves, and we continue we're working with an industrial designer up in Mukilteo who's designed a beautiful, lightweight, really flexible trailer for us. And the signs you can order from any sign maker. We just gave them, you know, the dimensions for corrugated plastic. And I don't want to give away all our secrets, but it's a pretty simple design.
What was your role, Andrea, in the initial startup?
Jace came to me after I sent him out with the trailer and the sign and said, we want to start a business. So I said, fine, you know, you look into it. You give me a little outline of what you want to do. I'll help you file the LLC paperwork. And you can only do this if we can get good insurance. And when we could solve those two issues, I helped just with that baseline aspect of it and handed it over to him. And he and his buddy really worked hard on this as the fall of junior year started. But then they got hit with SATs and AP exams and all the things that come with being in a academic setting. And I started to get a little more involved by January of the next year.
So, Jace, how has it been working with your mom?
It's been great, actually. She's very helpful and has taken a more of a leading role in the business, especially in the past year, and which has been really great for me because, as she said, I'm a full-time student, which requires a lot of my attention, unfortunately. I can't work full-time on Bucky Billboards, even though I would like to. So she has taken a leading role, and it's really great for me to be a part of that while at the same time she allows me to focus on my studies.
So more importantly, how did you do on your SATs?
You know, we can... It was okay.
Not something we want to announce on
struggle.
The air.
He did great.
Oh, really? Cool. All right, we'll let that one ride. So what is your role now that you're... Well, it's summer, right? So you're not studying or anything? Are you doing anything with the business right now?
Well, almost summer. So currently, we just finished a big gig with T-Mobile, and we're working with Pemco Insurance and some other clients around Seattle, Portage Bay Cafe. And so all of these clients are really exciting, and my role, hopefully coming up soon, will be to pitch more clients, and my friends are working on this with me. I have a lot of my friends who are riders, and so that's a lot of fun to bring my classmates together in a setting that's both earns them money and is a lot of fun for all of us to work together.
And it keeps you in shape.
And it keeps us in shape. And
do you ever ride, Mom?
I do. I ride. Everybody who's involved in the business needs to ride because it's unbelievable how you understand what's going on and the incredible response we get. You won't believe it until you go out and do it.
And so do you get response from actual potential customers? Is that what you're suggesting?
It happens, but what really is... something that makes you feel so good when you run a business, I'm sure you all agree, is when you see people responding to your product in a really positive way. So when we go out with Portage Bay Cafe or T-Mobile or any of these other clients, and we've got their billboard on our sign, and we've got something to hand out, usually we have a coupon or some piece of item that we can interact with a consumer with, people love it. They want to come up and talk to us. They're smiling. They're responding in a really positive way. And that makes the rider respond even more. And if we do have a tough day, sometimes the weather's terrible, traffic is rough, whatever.
Yeah, I forgot, biking in bad weather.
It's part of the fun.
Jace, what is your... You had a comment about that?
Yeah, so a couple months ago in February, I was riding with one of our older riders, Jesse, and we were at the... St. Patrick's Day run downtown, and this day was sort of a typical Seattle winter day where it was probably 30 degrees and raining, snowing kind of thing, but there were probably thousands of people out for this run, which was a ton of fun. And so me and Jesse were riding for Portage Bay Cafe, so we had our bright yellow biking billboards jerseys on, and we were riding in the pouring rain snow mixture of Seattle winter weather, and we stopped at the finish line and where everyone was coming through, and there were thousands of people. They were all cold, but they were all dressed in their green St. Patrick's Day attire, and we were handing out Portage Bay business cards and saying, you know, what a great place to go for breakfast after this. And people loved it. They were standing there, or they were running through the finish line, grabbing a business card from us saying, yes, breakfast. I'm so excited.
And Portage Bay must have been thrilled. Were they packed?
Yeah, they always are, and so we tell people we hand the card to call and make a reservation. So you saw biking billboards, and so that.
And did you speak to Portage Bay after and see how many people actually mentioned your name to them?
So we've been working with them for over a year, and they have been our best long-term client. They've had terrific results, and in general, we've driven between 15 and 25% return for any client that we're going out with, which is a pretty high return.
No, it's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it's good to be able to measure that kind of thing, too. Before we go to the break, I thought it might be fun to play this little tribute for our moms. And here we go.
Make one me, you just add half of mom and half of dad. That is what I once believed. But now I know that I was wrong. You gave so much to me, mom. Besides one half a set of genes, you gave me nutrients, transcription factors, nearly everything that matters, plus my prenatal environment,
transplacental inheritance,
mRNA, mitochondria, that back in the day once belonged to you,
cytoplasmic.
I just want to thank you for supplying them. Just like two strands of DNA are spirally entwined, your nature and your nurture in spirally combined. Scientists remind me, and I find that it is true. Slightly more than half of everything I am is thanks to you. Slightly more than half of everything I am is thanks to you.
That was our tribute to Mother's Day, and we've been speaking with mompreneurs here about starting and growing businesses on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'm Robin Block. If you're a mompreneur or have questions for our guests, give us a call at 866-712-1300 or tweet MYB Media. We'll be back with our other guests, Tina Ramirez and Susan Lowry, after the break.
You get a disproportionate share of your DNA coming from the mother. Really important.
Just like two strands of DNA are spirally entwined.
Double helix.
Your nature and your nurture in spirally combined. Scientists remind me, and I find that it is true. Slightly more than half of everything I am.
And now we return to Minding Your Business with Robin Block on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. Once again, here's Robin.
Our show today is all about the pros and cons and beauty of mompreneurship. And once again, happy Mother's Day to everybody listening. Tina Ramirez grew up in California. She has her bachelor's from the University of California and her master's in social work from Boston College. Tina has been a stay-at-home mom for the past 10 years and worked as a social worker prior to having children. She claims her kids as one of her hobbies. Tina started her business with another mom and the influence of their five collective children. After years of packing healthy snacks every day, they realized the impact all the one-use plastic bags were making on the environment. Mama Loves was the answer to keeping trash out of the oceans and landfills. Tina, welcome to Minding Your Business.
Thank you.
Can you describe your product line for us?
Yes, we have a product line that includes eco-friendly alternatives to plastic bags, one-use baggies that can't be recycled. And we have three basic items, a sandwich wrap that is a wrap and a placemat in one. We have a sandwich bag, and we have a smaller size snack size bag. All of our products are hand washable, dishwasher safe, and washer dryer.
And they're made out of some very cute fabrics.
Yes.
I noticed on your website.
Yes. We have a tendency to do a lot of shopping for fabrics.
So are those fabrics mommies like or kids like?
Both. Both, because in addition to moms packing snacks and lunches for their kids, they're packing for themselves and they're packing for their husbands as well.
Not the kids packing for their husbands, but they...
No. The moms.
And the dads don't pack their own, I guess, huh?
Some do.
Oh, they do?
Some do.
Well, that's heartening.
Yes.
I'm happy to hear that. Now, what are the price points for these?
Our products range from $8 to $10 for the reusable snack bags. We also do a diaper wipes case that was kind of born out of the same concerns, watching all of our girlfriends walking around with their Ziploc bags full of wipes and wanted to and diapers and thought that there definitely could be something to take away the use of that Ziploc bag. So
I guess in a pinch, too, they could be used as kind of a wipe themselves.
Yes, sure, why not? We tell everybody to eat your snacks and then wipe your face with your bag.
Oh, I like it. And where can you buy these besides your website?
We have over 20 retail locations between Washington, California, Oregon, and Utah, actually.
And so. How are you able to achieve such distribution?
a lot of word of mouth. A lot of retailers coming to us, having their customers asking for a product such as ours. A lot of businesses, especially the ones in Washington, that are focused on local handmade products. And they're willing to spend the money to help the environment.
Well, in the long run, I mean, you're just reusing the same bag over and over, so it probably is a wash after a while. I mean, pardon the pun there.
Yes, exactly. You end up actually saving money. We calculated that every student, if they were to bring a plastic-free or waste-free lunch, that they could save about 666 plastic bags from filling the landfills.
I think an even more useful stat might be, how many plastic bags would you have to buy to equal the price of one of your bags?
Absolutely.
You know, that could be a nice selling point, that you get your money back after, I don't know, 400 lunches or something, whatever it is. Right. I don't know. I can't do math in my head on the air. That would be hard to do. And who was your first customer?
My business partner, Hillary Lester, and I were making them for ourselves. Quite honestly, we were going to play groups with our girlfriends, and everybody's got, you know, 2-3 kids, and we're packing 3 snacks per child, and we'd get together for a play date at the park, and there'd be 70 Ziploc bags there. And we just thought, you know, this was the time where we were trying to live green, making small changes in our lives, and just thought there had to be something better. And Hillary is a sewer. I dabbled in sewing a little bit, but she really was the one who pulled the design together. And we made some for ourselves, and we made some for our friends. And, you know, everyone just kind of encouraged us to really take it to the next level and start a business.
I heard or I read somewhere that I think in July, Seattle is banning plastic shopping bags. Have you heard about that?
I have heard about that, and we think that's a wonderful thing.
And do you think we should have a law that bans plastic shopping bags for sandwiches?
I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Gee, I wonder why.
I think that it really, if you take the time to go to your child's lunchroom and just spend one day and see the different class periods come in and have lunch and see how much waste is actually made in one day at a school.
It's staggering. It's really staggering when you put it that way, and multiply that by how many classrooms and how many schools there are.
Absolutely.
And then how many cities and countries and blah, 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 on it goes.
Yes.
I mean, bags are filling landfills every day.
Absolutely.
Amazing. And it seems to me that there are a lot of people making these kinds of substitute products.
Absolutely.
And how do you feel? I mean, do you think that's going to be a competitive issue for you?
I don't necessarily think that it is. We are committed to maintaining handmade local product, and that, I think, will take us a long way in our business.
I'm here with the owners of Biking Billboards, Mama Loves, and the Motor Bee, and you're listening to Minding Your Business here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. And if you have any questions for our guest, it would be great if you called us at 866-712-1300 or send us a tweet at MYB Media. Susan Lowry was born and raised in St. John's, Newfoundland. She has a bachelor's in biochemistry from Memorial University. She later moved to Davenport, Iowa to attend Palmer College of Chiropractic, where she graduated cum laude and met her husband, Travis. Yes. They settled in Tumwater, Washington. After her first child was born, she returned from maternity leave to open the Cairo Health Center with Travis and Olympia. Susan's third child inspired her to start a new business venture. Susan, welcome to Minding Your Business.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about that inspiration.
Well, as a part of a way to inspire our patients, my husband and I thought we should perhaps walk the walk, or in this case, run the run. So we began training for a half marathon. My little guy was 6 weeks old. So he came with us in the jogging stroller. We had a great Bob jogging stroller, and we were going out all the time. However, it is the Pacific Northwest, so the weather can be a little awful.
As we have heard, and we know.
Exactly. So we had a lot of fleece blankets, and they were doing fine, but we always had to tuck them in. They were getting really wet. It was getting heavy. I'm not a fast runner. I'm not hardcore. I just had to be able to go, and I didn't want to stop once I got better at it. He would kick them off. They would get stuck in the wheels. And I just said, there has to be something better. And my husband looks at me, and he goes, so make it. Of course, challenge accepted. And I thought about the needs I had. I needed something that was weatherproof for Seattle or Pacific Northwest. It had to be warm. It had to stay put. It had to be independent of the style of stroller. And, of course, it had to be cute and sleek and stylish.
Of course.
Of course, you know. And what I found in this area is everybody loves funky design, so I liked that little shopping for fleece and picking out some really great patterns. So I made a prototype, like they do on Project Runner, actually, where, you know, they pin it first and then go backwards and sew it. And I still use my original prototype today. That's my blanket. And I brought it down to a store in Olympia, and I said, hey, look, I've got this product here for kids, jogging strollers, regular strollers. What would you add? You know, you deal with children's products all the time. What do you think it would need? What could I modify? Everything like that. And she goes, I'll take 10.
I mean, before she even responded to your market research question.
Yeah, she goes, I might add some reflective tape.
Oh.
And I said, I might add some nice reflective refinement. Tape, too. Let me check.
Yeah.
And so she ordered 10. And I can tell you it probably took me 10 times as long to make the next blanket as it did to make the very first one.
Now, why
one.
Is that true?
Well, I had to take it apart. I had to make a reproducible pattern. I think I fluked into some neat little sewing tricks as I was making the first one, because when you try to sew fleece and nylon together, they slip. I'm a biochemist. I'm a chiropractor. I'm not a seamstress. So, you know, I'm working on my old Kenmore sewing machine from Sears. But it worked out, and we got those first 10 done, and then we said, there's something here, and we pursued it as a business.
What were your blankets selling for?
They retail for $50. They're handmade. They're made in the USA. The weatherproof, essentially, weather-resistant is probably a better term, because I don't want anyone coming back and saying my kid got wet. But unless it's a monsoon, it works perfect for the Pacific Northwest.
And then, should you really be out running in a monsoon anyway?
I don't know. Some days it feels like it. Some days it feels like it.
I mean, indoor gyms, you know, that could work too.
It could.
Yeah.
And then I took the blanket back to Newfoundland with me. And if anybody knows where Newfoundland is, it's a rock in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and we do not have the best weather.
I'm sure the tourism board is going to be happy to hear this.
Well, it is the most beautiful place on the planet, so you do want to get out in it. But there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad gear. So when I was running...
I think REI would agree with you on that.
When I was running with my stroller back there, not only did it feel like I was pushing a kite, but I was really thankful that I had the motor B because of the protective weather factors, and he couldn't kick it off. And I thought, I would have bought this anyway if I hadn't made it.
So you got your first product in the store by going actually into the store and just talking about it.
Yes, exactly.
And I know so many entrepreneurs that are really afraid to do that. They're afraid of that first sales call, or, oh my God, I have to talk about my product.
Right.
Did you have that issue?
Absolutely. I am afraid of so many things every day, but I took my daughter with me. Who wants to chicken out in front of your child? Because they're like, I don't get it, Mom. Your stuff is great. So that's what I recommend. I took her to all the stores when I was bringing it around downtown so I would have the courage to ask.
I love that idea of something that makes mompreneurs very different than entrepreneurs. And we're going to talk more about that with Andrea and Jace Lieberman of Biking Billboards. And we're also going to be speaking more with Tina Ramirez and Susan Lowry. If you have questions for our guests, give us a call at 866-712-1300 or tweet MYB Media. We'll answer your questions on the air, and we will be right back after this. Our show today is about moms starting businesses, and I'm here with my guests, Andrea and Jace Lieberman, Tina Ramirez, and Susan Lowry. What is it about mompreneurs that puts them in a separate class from other entrepreneurs, beyond the obvious? Is it that they let their kids drive their inspiration, as we were talking with Susan about?
I think that's a start. I would never think of creating a stroller blanket, I guess, unless I had children. And there's a little bit more support. What I feel once you're a mompreneur, if you can connect with the mompreneur industry, and even when you go so far as, you know, there's the big category of bloggers as well, mommy bloggers, and some people put that down. But really, if you harness the power that it's creating, I think by capitalizing on that, you can do really, really well. I work with a fantastic group of mompreneurs through MomPact. And, you know, typically you were talking about, I can't remember if we talked about this on air or during the break, about people not sharing and wanting to keep their information to themselves. This group is unbelievable. It's like going down the rabbit hole. And it's people everywhere from where I am, basically a startup, to people that are in 6,000 boutiques. They're selling all over the world, and they will willingly share their contacts, their advice, everything from, I just got picked up and I'm on the cover of this magazine, to we just had an order of 10,000 canceled. You know, so you get to see how everybody reacts to that.
So moms are more nurturing by their nature?
I would have to agree. And there's a little bit of this camaraderie. You know, we're all in this together. Yes, I'm trying to run a business, but I'm trying to sound professional when my three-year-old is freaking out on the phone. You know, you can relate to that. Because I swear they are quiet until you have to make that call. And mom.
Tina, do you have the same experience?
I have a lot of the same experiences. Absolutely. It is a balance to, you know, run a business and a family as well. I think one of the things that I didn't expect when I started a business was how my children would be impacted by it. And the fact that, I mean, I think I always kind of envisioned them seeing me start a business, but didn't really realize how much it was going to do for them to be successful at a business and to come to things like this with me and
To the studio.
To the studio.
Yeah, they're hanging out in the green room.
They are, and very excited to be here. So I think we are a different class because we are driven by our children, our families, and also about mompreneurs really kind of helping each other out. There's a very tight network, I think, in Seattle of moms getting it done.
Should mompreneur business models be taken any less seriously than other entrepreneurial models, like tech startups, for example?
That's a really interesting question, because I think we have a slight advantage in that people may not take us as seriously to begin with, and then we can prove way beyond their expectations. I think we've all done that probably in our businesses thus far. And we have this supportive network so that we have somebody. We just have a sense of everybody helping to make all the boats rise higher. Rising tide floats all boats.
But do you think all moms make good entrepreneurs?
Oh.
Do you think that's true?
No. I don't think all moms would make good entrepreneurs.
So what is it about the mompreneurs that are being successful that make them more successful than your average mom?
I think it's the truly looking at it as a legitimate, real business. You know, everybody really could be presented with the same opportunities. It's, you can give the same amount of money to everybody, and you know, they're going to spend it differently. Some people are going to triple that money. Some people are going to lose it all. And I think the same thing can apply not just with mompreneurs, but any entrepreneur, any business. It's the willingness and the courage and the knowledge to have the backup to seize the opportunity and grow your business and recognize it and understand, you know, that it does take time, and you can't just say, I want to make cloth diapers, or I want to make a stroller blanket, or I want to, you know, be advertising on bikes. It's the follow through that will separate anybody, and regardless of whether you're a mom or you're a dad, or, you know, either or, I think that's what makes the difference. Not everybody can do it.
My guests today are Andrea and Jace Lieberman of Biking Billboards, Tina Ramirez, co-owner of Mama Loves, and Susan Lowry, creator of the Motor Bee. I'm Robin Block, and you're listening to Minding Your Business on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I want to talk a little bit about the role models that you have, particularly the female role models, and how that might relate to your businesses. Andrea, do you have someone you'd like to speak about?
Well, I can't say that I had a female role model working as we started this business, but since I've started this business with Jace, I am blown away by the number of female entrepreneurs that I've come across, the networks that exist in Seattle and nationally and even internationally, and I think I mentioned this earlier, just the sense that everybody is willing to share information, to help each other. And even though I believe that women have a very competitive streak in them, when they see that it's not going to hurt their own business, they are so willing to share.
I think I can turn that question around, too, that in, well, my mother's generation, a lot of them, or most of them, did not start businesses. My generation, our generation, I could say, have started more. And do you think that will drive more girls to face entrepreneurship in a more serious way or consider it as a career path?
My 13-year-old daughter started out as our CFO. We've since hired somebody to do the books a little more closely. But she can't wait to get enough skills, I think, to run it for real. And she'll be ready.
It's funny you say that because I used to love playing office when I was a little kid. So maybe I didn't do the books, but I thought like handling the paper and stuff was kind of cool. But what can I say? It's funny where these things come from. Chase, when did you first think about being an entrepreneur?
I didn't really think about being an entrepreneur. It sort of just happened. We sort of started the company and all of a sudden it was going. And I think the most exciting part for me was being able to hire my friends. I would go to school and we'd have a gig coming up the next weekend. And my mom would be sitting at home texting me saying, "We need riders. You need to go out and find your friends who are available on Saturday to ride in the rain." And I'd go to school and I'd be in advisory or in class. And I'd ask my friend, "Hey, you wanna get your raincoat and you want to get... you know, make $18 an hour this weekend with me and come ride." And most of them would be like, "I don't want to ride in the rain."
Oh, really? Are you serious?
Well, some of them.
Wait a minute. I'm assuming all these kids get like a big allowance. Because when I was a kid, if somebody said I could make 18 bucks an hour, I would have like jumped at it.
Well, I realized that I had to market that portion of the...
You had to get your HR hat on, human resources. That's so did you have to give them an additional incentive?
No. I think later I realized that I could just say, "Hey, you want to make $18 an hour?" And they'd be like, "Yeah."
Oh, so, oh,
but
yeah.
First, I was like, "You want to come bike in the rain?"
Yeah, me? Don't tell them the downside. What are you, nuts? Okay, well, that, you know, that was a great lesson to learn right from the beginning. I love that. So how do our moms here, how do you handle the dual role of mom and business owner? What happens? Like, what do you do when you wake up in the morning? What's the first thing, Susan?
Check my email. I think I check my email with my right eye before my left eye is open.
So do you get up before your kids get up?
No, they have some sort of radar. My 3.5-year-old, I would love to be one of those people that is like, I get up a couple of hours before my kids, I get all my work done. As soon as I am out of bed, he knows. So thankfully, my smartphone, live on it, checking the emails, Facebook updates, all that stuff. That is one way to do it. Or if you're, you know, watching the kids at swim practice, I'm doing business like that. But it is a little bit hard to balance. And I think balance is a little bit of a misnomer. But I did read a great article about how Michelle Obama balances being a mom and working in the White House. And she said, it's not really balance. It's about management. But what she does is 2 or 3 days of the week is all work. And she packs it full. And then the other days of the week are with family. And she's like, that's how I get all my responsibilities done. And since I read that article, I thought a little bit more about, it's not balance, but it's more management. Sometimes you're really going to be hard at work and making a lot of product. And sometimes you're not. So you just have to maximize the time. I like to say do one thing a day to grow your business. And at the end of the year, you've got 365 things done to grow your business.
I need to do that in my business. I don't even have kids, and I should be doing. I think we all can take a word from that. Do you have something?
Well, I was just gonna say, being moms by nature, we are multitaskers. So we are, thank God for the smartphone. We are Facebooking. We are checking our business emails, at pickup, at drop off. If you're a few minutes late, you know. So we do have the flexibility to be able to run our business while we're cooking dinner and doing homework, and that's different from a lot of people, I suppose.
Jace?
I just like to say that it's really nice to be able to have this business with my mom while I'm still living at home, because that allows for a certain level of failure that would be a little harder to cope with if I was sort of living by myself and didn't have the background support that I do living at home with my family and having my mom be in charge of this business as well.
I think we can all be thankful to our moms for being our safety nets.
Yeah, but I remember a couple experiences in the past year. I would saddle up with my biking billboards tire and walk into retail stores. I remember Jamba Juice one time. I walked into the local store with my biking billboards pamphlet and business card and helmet, and I walked in and I said, "Hey, I think this is what Biking Billboards is. I love Jamba Juice, and this is why I think we could work well together." And I spent a couple weeks corresponding with their marketing management team, and at the end of the couple weeks, they said no.
Aww.
And so that failure wasn't necessarily like heartbreaking, but it was like work that I put into it, and it was just okay to know that failure is can be productive in a business environment.
What makes you think it's productive? How is it productive?
Well, from there, I sort of reformed my marketing strategy, and that, like, I can go into a business and have them turn me down, and it's not my fault necessarily. It's just them not needing our
services. So you learn not to take things personally.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good lesson for all of us when you're in a sales situation. But did you also learn how you could revise your marketing technique, your sales technique?
Yeah, and each pitch thereafter has been another learning experience, both the failures and the successes. And the successes are a lot more fun.
But it's great to learn new things and then reapply them. And then when you get the success, obviously, that's when it really pays off.
Definitely. Right?
And I think we've all learned that you have to get to 500 no's. That's sort of the number that gets you to hone your pitch perfectly.
500 exactly?
Well,
I have to work on that.
399 would be better.
I think something that's also good to think about is once you develop more experience, you get a feel for who you need to spend time with and who you don't need to spend time with, and your selling technique gets a lot more efficient. But I think that only comes with experience. And so you do need to do those 500 just so you become better at picking and choosing. We've been speaking with Andrea and Jace Lieberman of Biking Billboards and Tina Ramirez and Susan Lowry. If you have questions for our guests, give us a call at 866-712-1300 or tweet MYB Media. And we're going to continue our discussion with moms after the break. And we would love to hear your questions. Give us a call.
And now we return to Minding Your Business with Robin Block on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. Once again, here's Robin.
So, Jace, I wanted to get back to you again. Your friends have responded positively to you being in business, particularly when you've given them jobs. But there's a lot of stuff in the news now that a lot of kids out of college, particularly boys, guys, whatever, are not finding work. So how do you feel being an entrepreneur? You're set up. Maybe it will last 4 years.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. And for Biking Billboards, our plan is to franchise or expand to other cities along the West Coast. And I'm attending University of Denver soon. So that's hopefully another market we intend to enter.
And what are you going to study there?
Business, probably.
Oh, that's shocking. Okay.
Which is a change before we started Biking Billboards, I thought that I would follow my dad's career in medicine. But since being exposed to the world of business, it's really interesting. It's a lot of fun, and it's always changing. And it's really interesting to be able to work with that environment.
You could say some of those same things about medicine, of course, that it's always changing and evolving. It's very exciting. Speaking of which, you're also highly educated. Andrea, you have somewhat of a business background.
Yeah, although I came to it really through public relations, editorial at Sunset Magazine and public relations. And really, I have learned, you know, by being in the fire of how to manage a business and how to write a business plan, even just managing a QuickBooks file and learning what a P&L and a balance sheet are. This was totally new language to me. And I just have to put a plug in. Here we are in the Northwest plugging all sorts of good Northwest things. I can't believe how lucky I am to have the University of Washington in our backyard, because I went to the business school there and hired 2 student interns. And they have led us through the UW Business Plan competition. We're in the midst of it right now. We've gone from 101 applications this year. We're in the sweet 16, the final 16. And the advice we've gotten, the mentoring we've received, but also just for me, learning the rules of running a business I didn't have to go to the UW Business School. I'm going through the business plan competition and getting all this input. It's been a fabulous experience for me personally and really beneficial to the business.
A lot of that input comes from the judges that are local consultants and instructors. I was a judge last year, so I loved it. It was a really fun experience. People are so enthusiastic. I encourage lots of people to get involved with the competition next year. Right now, it's getting towards the end,
yes.
I realize. So, Susan.
Yes.
You're a chiropractor.
I am.
So, what do you think about being in business?
You know, When we went to school, you were taught that, you know, being a chiropractor would take care of everything. You'd pay your student loans off in a year. It was a business to send to your kids. And to be honest, I have a ton of chiropractic friends that are multi-generational. And I felt so embarrassed the first day of class when they were like, is anybody else a chiropractor in your family? And, about two-thirds of my class stood up. And I'm like, here, I just decided. You know, I went and checked it out. But, you know, when the economy kind of crashed, everybody was affected in every profession. And we realized that there has to be multiple sources of income to guarantee our stability. And really, having it, sometimes I think the only reason to have a business is to sell a business. So the more businesses you can have that are running and functional, that's a little bit like having your retirement, because when the time is right, you can sell them off. And, you know, I'm big on opportunity. So it was, when it was presented, we were like, how can we not do it? This is an opportunity to grow a business that, first of all, wasn't location dependent. We don't have to see patients. You know, we can run this from Florida. We could run this from the south of France. I often joke about that.
That sounds good.
Yeah, crossing my fingers. I could run it from Newfoundland if I move home.
Yeah, no.
You know, so that was something else. It was to build a little more stability just into our family, because when it comes down to it, you want to take care of your family. And having the chiropractic business was great. It pays the bills. And I'm fortunate that the lessons learned from running that business have been quickly applied to this one. We are trying not to make the same mistakes. We're also debt-free in the new business, which was really, really important. So I think it just adds to the sense.
I want to skip to something I mentioned earlier. I said I was going to be giving a talk about Pinterest, and I saw everybody go, oh, you know, like they're really excited about that. What do you think about that new social media site that's for pinning pictures and that kind of thing, Tina?
I think it's pretty amazing. I think that it's going to give Facebook a run for its money. I think that any mom I talk to or any circles I've been in, everybody loves Pinterest. So Mama Loves is on Pinterest.
Have you gotten any business from it, do you think? Can you track it?
I don't know if we've gotten any business specifically from Pinterest. Facebook, for sure.
For a while, Pinterest was my number one referrer to my site.
And could you tell if people are actually purchasing? Came from?
No. Okay. I couldn't track that part, but I did see that once we started consistently pinning and following some Pinterest marketing rules, so to speak, the traffic definitely drove to the website from there.
Jace, you're one of the, Youth of America seems to have a certain viewpoint about social media. What are your thoughts? Do you have any about it?
I'm not super familiar, actually, with Pinterest.
What about Facebook, for example?
Facebook has been both a very useful and not very productive social tool for me. Not very productive in
the
sense of homework.
Let's say from a business side. we're not worried about your social life, although we could talk about that afterwards. But, I mean, we would love to hear what you think about it for your biking billboards business.
Yeah, so I created the page shortly after we started the company, and it wasn't as productive as I'd hoped, but recently we've hired a marketing director, Alyssa Norwood, and she has done wonders with the Facebook page, and our social media scene has done very well with Facebook and Twitter, so that's definitely two very useful tools for us.
Well, that's great to hear, and I can't believe this, but we're just about out of time. We'll have to bring everybody back for more interviews. You've been listening to Minding Your Business on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'd like to thank my guests, Andrea and Jace Lieberman of Biking Billboards, Tina Ramirez, co-owner of Mama Loves, and Susan Lowry, creator of the Motor B. That's MOTRB. My guest next week is Mark Costello from the local office of the Small Business Administration. We'll be talking about the government's role in driving small business. Send us questions, we'll answer on the air. For an archive of today's program, links to our guests' websites, or to sponsor this show, check out mybmedia.com. And remember to join us on our Facebook page and on Twitter at MYB Media. From Money Radio KKOL 1300 in Seattle, this has been Minding Your Business, tools and information for the business of your life and the life of your business. I'm your host and producer, Robin Block. Happy Mother's Day, and remember, call your mom.
listening to Minding Your Business with Robin Block. Real business know-how for today's entrepreneurs. To contact Robin, you can email Robin with two B's at blockbeta.com. That's Robin at blockbeta.com. Join us again next Saturday afternoon at 1 for more Minding Your Business with Robin Block here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL.